Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas here live on FUBAR Radio. I am Bobby Norris, and tonight I'm joined by a very special guest co-host. We've had her a couple of times now. It's Ellen McCoughlin.
Hello.
How are you, my love?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm so good. It's so lovely to have you on the studio tonight.
Thank you. It's great being back. I love it. It feels like home now.
It is home. It is home. And it's so nice to have you. And we are in for a really good show tonight. I mean, every week's always a good show. But we are jam-packed this evening. So we're going to be discussing all the showbiz news. Obvs.
Mm-hmm. Obvs, yes.
That's what we do best, babes.
Exactly. We can do that all day.
All day and all night. Plus, we'll be speaking to Too Hot to Handle's Brendan Durrell, which I'm excited for. We've got a little bit of a professional behind the scenes, which I want to find out about. Yeah. And then we're bringing a little bit of Love Island. Love to the FUBAR studios with Meddy. So yeah, it is going to be an absolute belter. Yes. But firstly, Ellen, babes, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
Yes, my week has been good. I've been chilling, but also probably the highlight, I went to see the Barbie movie.
Right, tell me, I've not seen it. It's took over my social media. Yeah. The Well Done Is Chihuahua on Instagram is posting Barbie stuff and I'm getting FOMO.
Yes.
What, tell me about the film. Any good?
It is incredible. I'm shocked that you haven't seen it yet.
I know.
Like,
you wouldn't believe it, would you?
Right.
And I used to love a Barbie doll back in the day, which is going to be a shocker for a lot of our listeners, I know.
Go see it. Go see it. It is really, really good. It has loads of feminist undertones, which I was expecting going into it, but actually it had a bit more than I was envisioning for it. I really liked it. I know there's kind of controversy online about it. Some people are saying, oh, what about men? Ooh, woe is me. But actually, what the movie is about, it's role reversal to what the patriarchy is. So it kind of shows Barbie as the kind of, you know, the patriarchy, and then men, it's just Ken. That's their slogan, right? So it's Barbie. So basically, the movie is kind of about Barbie's. Each Barbie has like a really cool profession. There's like Nobel Prize winners and stuff like that.
Love that.
And all the Kens are just Ken. That's it. You're just Ken.
So is that why there's a little bit of backlash on the old socials?
Yeah, a small bit. Like it's kind of funny because I think like some men, not all, like some men see the value of it. But it's just one movie about if the roles were reversed and then the controversy that came from it, it's just kind of like, oh God, we can't watch a fictional movie now of what life would be like if you were the patriarchy.
Yeah, which is ironic, really, if you think one film and there's a backlash about it. Like that shows that we've still got a little way to go in society.
Definitely, definitely. And actually, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but it's not all about that. You know, it kind of comes together at the end and it, you know, it's a bit more equal and stuff like that. So
it levels out.
It levels out.
It's a leveler.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've just got to say, I'm only going from like press shots and what I've seen on the social, but Ken looks an absolute salt.
He is. He's looking. Do you know what? When I saw the pictures of him with the blonde hair, I was thinking, no, Ryan, it's not for you. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But when you watch the movie, about halfway through, you think, oh, okay. Okay.
Are you now loving Roy as a blonde?
Yes, yeah. I am kind of liking it now. So, and his abs are insane. So I'd imagine he's worked out a lot for this movie.
Absolute goals. And I think it's rumoured that I think they've made £400 million already.
Yes.
So this is like up there in terms of top films of all times.
Yeah. So basically they actually, it's a record. It's the first female director to ever make that much in the first week of a box office movie. So I just think it's incredible. Obviously, it was up against, what's that other, the Oppenheimer?
Oh, the one about the bomb.
The one about the bomb. It's up against that, and that only made $200 million in its first week of box office.
See, the thing is, on a normal week, $200 million would be a lovely amount to bring in.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
I bet there's probably a few people sat in the PR office thinking, shit, we've had a mare. Of all the weeks, we've dropped up against Barbie and she's done us.
Exactly. But you know what? I actually think it's going to level out. I think everyone rushed to see Barbie because loads of Barbie fans, and we've all grown up with Barbie and everything. So
and
I
she's
think
iconic.
She's iconic, and so many people, younger generation, older generation, we all went to see Barbie. Like when I was there, all the girls were wearing pink. It was like so strange. I've never been to a movie where everybody dressed as the main character. It was like,
love that.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
But the PR
I think they're gonna
machine
up.
Behind that film has been incredible. Like from buses, I was saying to a couple of the girls, our producers, that I don't know if it was, it must have been like an indoor shopping centre, but you know, like when you get glass lifts, the outside of the lift was like a Barbie box. Like the PR that's gone into that, and very, very clever marketing, everything that you're going to post, it's all social friendly. It's made for the gram. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Like their PR team needs a raise.
Absolutely.
It's incredible. It's been everywhere. And even if you didn't want to see the movie and you were trying to avoid it, I don't think you could have in the last 2 weeks. So I think people will probably be like, Jesus, will I just go and watch it just to see what the fuss is about?
Yeah. And the thing is, there's some films that come and go. Because I mean, I'll be honest, I don't remember the last time I went to a cinema. Especially because of the old Panny D and all of that.
Yes, but I mean,
we just live in a world of streaming and all of that now. But even if you lived in a hole or under a rock, you would know Barbie's out. So that shows the PR that's gone into that. And I'm like, I mean, that's off to Mattel because to make 400 mil, they're not selling that many dolls in one day. So, and I'm guessing there'll be a Barbie too if that's the record they've made already.
Exactly. And you know what? I was surprised by watching it actually with Mattel. I didn't know that they were executive producing it until afterwards. But when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, surely they're not involved in it because there's kind of some stereotypes of Barbie that maybe you would think as a company that they wouldn't want to be projecting. But the director was allowed to play with the stereotypes and to kind of, you know, say things that I'd imagine a company representing Barbie wouldn't want out in the stratosphere or whatever. So kind of hats off to them that they let the female director, what's Greta Gerwig? Let her kind of run with her concept. And I thought it was kind of really nice. It was balanced. It kind of showed the positive sides of having Barbie and the negative sides as well.
And story-wise, without any spoilers for a lot of our listeners that haven't seen it yet, is it open that there can be a Barbie too?
It is open to being a Barbie too. And God, I hope there will be, because like the last scene, it kind of, it sets it up
so
nicely.
You reckon that there's got to be. They must have predicted there was going to be a good, unless I love that I'm asking if it's open there can be a Barbie too. Barbie's been going since, what, the 60s?
Yeah.
I mean, she's smashed it already. So roll on
sure
to that.
Be.
But Barbie aside, let's do what we do best. Showbiz news.
Yes.
What's caught your eye, girl?
Right. Well, this has been a great week for white women. Molly Mae got engaged and a Barbie movie had come out. So we are delighted.
What a week.
What a week. What a time to be alive. So basically, Molly Mae and Tommy Fury, they met in Love Island 2018, was it? 17?
Gosh, gotta be,
yeah.
A while now.
A couple of years ago, they have a baby now and everything, Bambi. So they just got engaged a couple of days ago. And I'm not sure if you saw the video on social media, but it is literally the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Can we just say ring goals?
Yes, her ring. Stop. I actually can't.
I've seen, I mean, again, all alleged, but I see rumours that it's worth, is it £600,000?
Oh my God.
But it's a belter. It's a rock.
Yeah, it is a rock. And it looks
it's
incredible.
A boulder.
It is. But it's also quite classic. So it's just a big diamond and then the kind of delicate ring around it. Yeah. There's no kind of fuss. But I think it is like stunning. But I'm sure his boxing career has probably paid for that, you'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. And let's have it right. I can't imagine him popping up Argos. No tea, no shade to Argos, because, I mean, I've bought many an iron from Argos and many things, but I can't see him going to, like, Elizabeth Duke and picking a ring out of the catalogue. Showing my age now. Do you even get Argos catalogues anymore? I bet you don't.
I don't know.
Do you remember the little pens?
I remember, because I used to get one every Christmas. You just circle what you wanted for Christmas
But
presents.
When it was fat, like the yellow pages.
That was the best.
Oh, my God.
We love Argos.
I used to write list after list, telling Santa what a good boy. So yeah,
love
absolute congratulations to Molly Mae and Tommy.
He actually done quite a surprise. So he created this fake press event. He told her that they were going to a press event and he dropped her to the hotel. I think her agent was in on it. There was a few people in on it as well because they actually had like everything that would naturally happen for her during a press event. So her glam team were flown out. When she arrived at the hotel, there was a message from the alleged press event people saying, welcome, we're looking forward to seeing you tonight, da da da. They sent a car to pick her up, and just as she arrived at the venue, Tommy jumped out of the car and just ran. She was like, what's happening next? Like, what is happening?
What's going on?
What's going on? And eventually she went looking, and she had to walk down these steep steps. And the song that was playing in one of their love scenes on Love Island, an Irish artist, I believe, she was there. He also flew her over to perform the song live. So he was there with her. And then he was also holding their daughter, Bambi. And he proposed that way.
How romantic.
He is just a gem. Like, he's such a cute guy, isn't he?
Yeah. And let's have it right. He's easy on the eye as well.
He's not bad, is he?
He ain't so bad.
He's not bad.
The old Tommy. But yeah, congratulations. And I hope they're absolutely enjoying their little honeymoon. Well, not honeymoon as such, but a little period of engagement. Yeah, their little bubble right now.
Yeah, I can't wait for the wedding. Apparently,
oh my God, imagine.
Apparently she wants a big castle in the UK somewhere, so
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Exactly, it's going to be Disney Princess, isn't it?
All day long, and we'll be here for it, and we'll be sat here reporting on it.
Exactly.
And anything else caught your eye, babes?
Right, well, we're going from something very happy to something a bit controversial. The 1975 frontman, Matty Healy, faces some backlash. He was banned from performing in Malaysia after he criticised the country's anti-LGBT laws. But he'd done it in such a way that it's kind of divided the internet. So, like, he's also kind of divided my opinion on it as well, because when I saw the clip online going viral, I was thinking, yes, Matty, you know, great stand. I love to see it. But people are kind of basically what he did is he drunkenly on the stage, we're presuming he's drunk. He looked a bit drunk and he was holding a bottle of wine at the time. But during the concert, he questioned the government and their laws in Malaysia. You get 20 years in prison if you're caught to be LGBTQ. Which,
can I just say, I still just find absolutely insane. Shocking that anywhere in the world in 2023 it can be illegal to be yourself. You've got no choice in your sexuality. So to me, to get nicked for 20 years, like just blows my fucking mind.
It's insane. And how did they catch people? You're holding his hand. Like, it's
madness.
It's insane. Like, but it's still hard to even, like, us living here, it's hard to even think that there's countries like that. And I get his viewpoint and I get his stance and I respect him for it. And he also after bashing the government on stage, he also kissed his guitarist, and the clip went viral. But a lot of people were saying, why did he do it that way? Because actually what happened in the end as a result is they got kicked off the stage, so they didn't even get to perform the rest of their concert, but also the rest of the festival was cancelled, so all the other local bands weren't able to perform, and so local Malaysian bands couldn't perform. Also vendors, they forked out a lot of money for food and drink.
They shut it all down because of the kiss.
Yes, and I don't blame Matty for that, actually.
No.
I do blame the government for that,
because that's, why have they shut it down? Did they think, like, it was catching? Did they think it was, like,
I don't know,
like the pandemic was back, let's hope no one catches gay.
Yes.
Shut it down, get your mask, get your gloves, get your sanitizer, and get out of here.
I think somebody in the government had a freak attack and basically went to the organizers and said, no, it's too much for us now. I don't understand. I don't blame Matty for any of that. He couldn't have predicted that.
No.
But what people were saying online is that maybe he should have, if he did want to address those things, maybe he should have done his research beforehand, because they don't hide those laws. Those laws, like, everybody knows that those laws, he could have just Googled and it would have popped up. So he could have said no to the concert, and he could have made a public statement to say why he said no and that he doesn't agree with this and that or whatever. Or he could have, like, contacted local LGBTQ plus people in Malaysia and asked them what would be the best thing for him to do if he wanted to support them. Could he, you know, offer money to some funds or grassroots companies, or do you know, there was other ways about it, and people felt that, like, it was almost kind of a drunken slur, kind of last minute
thing. And has he made a statement about it since?
He has made light of it since. I think he just said, he said something in an interview along the lines of, I've always wanted to kiss my guitarist or whatever. There's been many times I wanted to kiss him, but
can't
knock him for that. It did look quite hot to me.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I kind of, like I say, I didn't know like the ins and outs, and it is a shame they've had to close everything down, but just shows that just the people not keeping up with the times. And again, we're sat here from being privileged here. We're sat here currently recording this in London, and although we've still got a long way to go, believe you me, as a gay man, it's definitely a lot better than when I go look back to maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're far from perfect here, but we are definitely more accepting and tolerant, as we should be.
Thank God,
even just sounds horrendous. We have to say we're tolerant.
Tolerant, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's just so sad. But
there is hope, because I feel like we have, like you said, we've come a long way since the 60s. Yeah. And that's actually not that long.
No, if you think about it, yeah. So think that, again, it was at a time that people could get arrested and literally put into prison for being gay. So, like being arrested for having blue eyes
It's like you could be arrested for anything. It makes absolutely no sense. Like,
no.
Make it make sense. But hopefully for those countries, it will be as quick as it was here, if not quicker, hopefully. But maybe what Matty done was a good thing, because would we be talking about it today if it was a statement on Twitter?
No, exactly that. You know? And, you know, actually, he could have researched the country, but maybe it was a clever thing to do.
Yeah.
That actually, it's got people speaking. It's got the message out there.
Yeah.
And you know what, even if it just got one person in that audience or someone watching going, do you know what, why are we so unaccepting of, do you know what I mean? Like,
Or even a gay person in that audience going, a closeted gay person going, okay, so this is acceptable elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because maybe if you're surrounded with that kind of viewpoint the whole time and you're not allowed to express yourself because you get arrested.
Yeah.
That maybe it gives somebody a bit of, you know, keep doing you, like, you're good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And things have to get better. I mean, they've got to, because if we're going back to them kind of times, the way the world's going, I want to get off.
Yes, stop the world, I'm getting off.
We're done. We're absolutely done.
100%.
Anything else caught your eye, babes? We're flying through the show, babes.
I know. Well, actually, I'm quite excited about this one. S Club 7 will be releasing their first single in 20 years, and it's coming out this week. So it's actually called These Are The Days, and it's in tribute to Paul Cattermole.
Yep.
So he obviously sadly died in April at 46.
So sad.
Heart issues. That was so sad, because he was planning on touring with them this year. And so that just kind of came out of the blue. And then they cancelled their tour because they said, obviously, this is not right. They have to go through like a funeral for one of their bandmates and all of that. But now they've said that they're going to continue the tour, but they're going to do it in his honour. So they're going to name the tour after one of the songs that he is lead vocals on.
That's nice.
Really nice. And actually, their new single that is released on Friday, the music video to go with that is supposed to be quite emotional. I haven't seen it yet, but it's all to do with Paul, and it's like images of him.
I think I've seen clips of that on social. Is that what went out on socials today?
It must have. Totally missed that, but did it look emotional?
Really lovely tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, I used to love a bit of S Club, so... I'm excited to see. It was just sad, the circumstances, though, to think there was going to be the Seven reuniting. But lovely that they can tribute it to Paul.
To him, definitely. Oh. And I do think a lot more people actually are going to be watching this now, S Club 7 thing. Because there would have been people who were interested, but also people who were kind of not bothered by it. But I feel like now, considering the circumstances, and just, I'd say the concerts are going to be that bit more powerful.
Oh God, I reckon they'll be a pure emotion.
Pure
absolutely
emotion. Exactly.
Well, what a lovely little bit of showbiz news there. Now, babes, Ellen, you know me. I'm out and about. I love doing my bobby on the street. And this week is no different. So it's been rumoured, well, I don't think it's even a rumour, I think it's confirmed, that Futurama is to make a comeback to TV, which got me thinking. I thought, oh, Bob, if you could bring back any TV show, what would you bring back? So I thought it's the perfect topic for Bobby on the Street. So I took to the streets of central London to find out, and here is just a little teaser of what the public said. What I absolutely love about this, like the whole comeback thing, is like there's so many things. When you think about like the nostalgia of TV shows, I mean, because you can go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'm going to go to London and ask everyone what they want to bring back, because you start triggering each other what you used to love and what you used to love. So let's have a little, let's just get a little teaser. But you know, the full video is going to drop on Friday on our social. Follow at AAAFUBA on Instagram. But here is a little teaser.
I pick France, obviously.
Probably Bullseye. Just a bunch of people in the Midlands winning boats.
Probably like old Big Brother. They used to actually like physically hit each other.
Baywatch, from when I was younger.
Stargate.
Firefly. It was a sci-fi TV show that got cancelled after a series and was very famous in its day for being cancelled. It was critically acclaimed, but then shut down.
The In-Betweeners.
Probably, yeah, Prime Suspect would be the one.
Thundercats.
Funhouse, maybe on...
I used to love a bit of Funhouse.
Funhouse, yeah, definitely Funhouse.
Probably Friends.
Big Bay.
Not the only ones I see.
Oh, we had some cracking answers there. Do you know what? I don't mind. I ain't on it anymore.
Turn over, mate.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, guys, is we've got the lovely Brendan in our waiting room. We're going to be speaking to him on Zoom shortly. So we're going to go to a little trail and babes, and we're going to go straight into Too Hot to Handle's Brendan.
Nice.
FUBAR Radio presents.
All areas. We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Yeah. Or vagina of cow.
Yeah. But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office,
I think. The Dating Show. Do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook? Yeah. And you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. And what was the other one? It was It's Complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Radio.
Welcome to Access All Areas, guys. And we have got the lovely Brendan from Too Hot to Handle. Brendan!
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me on here.
You're so welcome. Thanks for joining us this evening. Must say, absolutely loving your shirt.
Brilliant.
Thank you. I'm in Miami, so I had to wear the appropriate attire.
You lucky dog.
We're in London. We ain't got the same weather.
No.
London in the summer's a vibe, though. I love it out there in the summer.
Yeah, not such summer vibes today, unfortunately, Brendan, but not complaining. How have you been? Very, very busy.
Very busy. Very busy. But busy to me is amazing. It means that I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always good to be busy. No one wants to be quiet, not in our game. So just for anyone that's listening that may not know, can you explain who and what your role is on Too Hot to Handle, please, Bren?
So on Too Hot to Handle, they hired me for intimacy, to help the contestants essentially connect with each other deeper without it being sex-based. So like my job, like not to overcomplicate it. So it's like, bro, ask her what her last name is. Ask her where she's from. Like, don't just lean in with your penis, essentially.
Yeah. Do you find guys tend to do that a lot?
Absolutely. Because I mean, when the fireworks go off, you see an amazing, gorgeous woman and you're like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Fireworks go off. And then everything else becomes like, blah. So it's like, slow down, bro. Take a deep breath. And actually, let's try to make a genuine connection.
So I've got to ask, before this was your role, are you the kind of guy that you used to lean in with your penis, Brendan? I mean, you're a good looking geezer. Let's have it right. I'm sure you've done some leaning in.
Yeah, I mean, so I came into the sexuality work via Tantra just so I can go deeper in relationships. Like in the past, like I was like, I see myself a lot in the cast when I was younger, like dating, going for this. But there was always a point where I would stop, you know, a point where I would get frightened. I'll get afraid. I kind of close off, shut down, and then just peace out. So my life's work has been dedicated to intimacy with romantic relationships, but also with life in general. Just I've been to about 60, 70 countries and just moving around and just being intimate with nature and things like that. So yeah, I would say just connection is my thing.
Can you describe Tantra a little bit more? Because I'm sure some people listening may automatically think sex. Just gonna put it out there.
That's literally what I was thinking.
Yeah, Tantra to a lot of us is sex.
Yeah.
Tantra, technically, it's about presence. It's about connection. In the West, we kind of went to India. We came back with this idea like, oh, they got Kama Sutra. They got these sex secrets for us to use. And it's like, it's true. But the idea of Tantra is actually presence. It's connection. And there are a lot of amazing sex-based things within Tantra, but it's actually a lifestyle. It's like a yoga. It's like it's a marathon, okay. Not a sprint,
right.
Essentially.
Because I was kind of thrown there when you said that you were getting intimate with nature. But yeah. You meant like just intimate.
Just sitting under a tree and just listening to the birds.
All right.
Not having a wank under a tree.
I'm glad you said it.
You don't seem the sort to be knocking one out under a tree, Brendan, I'll be honest.
He's too classy.
So how was it filming Series 5 of Too Hot to Handle?
I loved it. This cast was different for me and some of the other ones. And maybe because like the producers and the casting team just wanted to shift some things up with the characters and to cast them. I thoroughly enjoyed them. For me, there was more fire in this season than some of the previous ones. And we could see it thus far with some of the peeps like Louis, Elise, and all of them, how they're just making their ways. But I really enjoyed it. Like, to me, they were like a Hollywood sign. That was their vibe for this season.
Nice. And who was your favorite contestant on this year's show?
Oh, man. I would say the one that I had the most banter with, obviously, was Louis. Because he's just that kind of guy. So while we were in my workshops and stuff, like I would just challenge him. I would like kind of call him out a little bit to like, hey, you can't do that. You can't do this. So I would say this season, like I had a lot of fun with Louis, but also Dre as well. And Christine, they were all amazing.
Yeah.
So Brendan, I want to ask you, because there'll be a lot of people that really want expert advice here. Let's talk dating tips. For someone that's in like your profession, you've seen it, you know it, you've done it. I mean, whether you was wanking under the tree or not, whether you was leaning in with the penis, you definitely know what you're talking about. So dating tips, Brendan, what are the top three?
The top three. So I would say for me, whenever I see somebody that I'm attracted to, it's like I immediately tell myself, take a deep breath, slow down. Because no good decisions come from just acting off impulse. That's from my experience. So yeah, I don't know
good
about
shout.
Y'all.
Yeah, it's
like,
good shout.
Good shout. Yeah.
It's like we lose everything in that split second. So slowing down is the number one thing. Learning yourself. That's because I feel, because most of my clients are women. So the more that they can understand themselves and know what their negotiables are, non-negotiables, and their standards are, like the more seamless dating will be for them, because they would just filter out like some jerks. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I like it. I like that. Yeah, because I feel like women spend a lot of time on the wrong men and then they feel like they're running out of time. Actually, do you know what? Men probably do the same thing as well. It's not a gender thing.
I'll spend my time on a few wrong men, I won't lie.
Yeah, I would say, though, women are more prone, like, from my experience of supporting women, that it's like there is like a filtering process. Because I mean, for men, it's like, let's say, like, we look at some of the contestants, like, they also want just one thing, you know, let's kick it to the chase. Like, they want to just have a, how they call it in Australia, I don't know if you say it in England, they just want to have a root. They just want to go
to get their willy wet.
They want
ours is a little less classy.
Wait, what do you call it there?
Get your willy wet.
Get your willy wet.
That is violent.
You know, I grew up in New York and we kind of have a similar saying. I don't know if I can say this on the radio.
Yeah, we say everything here.
We get your dick wet. It's the same thing.
Get your dick
wet.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like your way better.
I've never been to New York, but now I know that's the motto. I'm booking flights as we speak.
Get your flights and your route.
We're DMing Richard Branson as we speak, seeing if we could get a couple of flights out to New York. So I want to ask Ben, and I'm guessing that I'm kind of going to know the answer because this is very much your career, and from listening to what you're saying that you kind of got to strip the sex back, but do you believe that a relationship can work without physical intimacy?
Absolutely not. I do believe in the beginning stages, mm-hmm. it does fortify the connection going forward in regards to like kind of withholding just a little bit instead of just jumping in the beginning stages. But for like a marathon relationship partnership, physical touch, intimacy, absolutely needed. Like I was reading something last week, I believe it was in USA Today, and they were talking about the rate of sexless marriages and how it's like at an all-time high in America right now. And I was just like, wow, people are just with each other without touching each other. I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Mm. Like, so I saw that it threw up like red flags in my mind in regards to like how people just settle with no touch, no intimacy, no physicality in relationships.
Why do you think people get to that point in their relationship?
Oof, I would say there's a bunch of reasons in regards, like some, it could be financial, you know, they're in a space where they can't leave. Some, they just deeply want a companion over, they'll choose a companionship over that spark, that intimacy. And also I feel the biggest thing when it comes down to it is just fucking communication.
Yeah.
Just communication on just mm-hmm. like, whether it be just talking each day or stating my desires or her stating her desires to me. I think it comes down to communication about what we actually really want and desire.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing both people have to be very much on the same page. So once you kind of get to the point where you kind of, you know what you like, you know what your partner likes, as much as you can be into that person, find them attractive and all that kind of stuff, if you're not on the same page, is it ever going to work, Brendan?
No. I from the deepest part of my belly, I say no. I say we can, actually, let me reframe this. I say we can absolutely not be on the same page, but we can be within the same chapter, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Like, because growth is not linear. Like sometimes I might be here and sometimes she might be here and then we kind of miss because it's a never ending journey of growth, like bar none. But it's like, if we're in different books, then that's when we have to actually be like, have to check this out.
Yeah, then it's a
makes sense.
Yeah, if one's very much knows what they like and then one wants to be hanging from the chandelier, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And the other's very vanilla with a not water bottle.
That's it.
It ain't to be. Work.
It's a battle, right? Yes.
It's a battle. Yeah. Now, Brendan, I want to ask you, you touched upon it at the top of the interview about negotiables and non-negotiables. How do people decide what they are? Because I hear people talk about this like in your line of work, like as dating experts, people go, you've got to know, like almost write a list of what you'll negotiate on and what you won't. But how do you decide what they are?
I say by experience. So I'm all for, like I work for Lana on Too Hot to Handle. And I know she's very strict with her rules and touching and things like that. But the other part of me is also like, Lana, like a big part of connection is like the physicality of things. So I'm all for like the contestants, like exploring, you know, and having the opportunity to explore. And I feel this for everybody that we have to explore. But I say, like the age old saying, experience is the best teacher, you know, like I need to know that I like chocolate by actually fucking eating chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
And so I say going out there and playing the field, that's an absolutely way to lead us to what we do like, because I might go and try chocolate with raisins in it, I'd be like, yo, that shit was nasty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to have that again. Like, I don't like raisins, you know? Right. But I know, like, that's not for me.
Okay. Mm. That's interesting, because maybe then, I don't feel like women do play the field. Maybe they do nowadays, but I feel like I'm in my 30s now, but I feel like when I was in my 20s and my teens, it was kind of like you were shamed if you were playing
field. Oh, yeah.
You know, and people were, you know, focused on having a really low number, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like hopefully that's changed a bit. I feel like it has. But maybe that's why women, as like you were saying, don't really know what they want and what they don't want in terms of their non-negotiables.
Yeah. And like playing the field can look totally different for so many people. For some people, it can be like just, you know, getting your willy wet.
Yeah.
You know, other people, it's like, let me have this dude pay for a dinner for me. And let's just have conversation. It could just mm-hmm. look so totally different what playing the field looks like.
Right.
But yeah, I do see a lot of confusion does come up with many people in the dating scene, because they're like, well, what do I like? And the thing is, too, it's like, I'm all for sex positivity. And also the notion that you were speaking about was like, it's a whole separate conversation, but attributing the low number and like the slut shaming and stuff, we could attribute a lot of that to patriarchy. Let's be real. Like that's what's come in the West.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, it's like, we're all human having an experience. And it's mm-hmm. like, you get to know yourself more based on experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yes. And as a guru in dating, because things have definitely changed. I think like every decade that goes by, everyone looks back and it goes, oh, it's different nowadays. It's different nowadays. And there's no denying, I guess, the rise of social media, the rise of dating apps has definitely changed the game. Do you think that's a positive for finding love in terms of whether it's sliding into a DM or whether it's going onto a dating app? Or do you think it's stripping it back? And can you still go to a bar or a pub and meet someone organically now? Or is the world very much, it's digitally online?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And, thank you.
And insight as well.
I thought it was a great question too. Well done, Bobby.
Yeah, that was great. Because that comes up a lot. Mm. And we're seeing like the age of like dating with the dating apps, AI, all these things coming into the space. And I'm old school in regards to like, we're still humans and we still have to be in vicinity to smell each other's hormones. Like we have to like pheromones, like all these things that's like in the space, like it makes a part of the connection. And yeah, I feel like social media, I've met amazing women throughout my years through social media, but at a certain point, it's like, I crave and desire something deeper that's not tech-based. So I do say to your point, it's like, definitely still going into a pub or going to a restaurant, or if people still go to libraries, like meeting somebody organically like that mm-hmm. to me is like bar none, because you know that feeling when like you've walked in a room before and like, let's say you're attracted to somebody physically, but then you kind of get around them a little more, you hear them talk or something, you're kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the way their voice sounds, the way they smell, or the way they laugh, like, mm-hmm. you know, like it's something different. You know how dogs smell each other's ass?
Yeah.
It's like essentially we do that as humans. Oh, we do the same thing.
And yeah, I guess that's when you start knowing that you can almost get the ick.
Yes.
Yes.
Instantly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's the way people carry themselves.
Oh,
isn't
mannerisms
it?
Are a big thing,
yeah.
which you don't find out on social media. You can it's post true. All
exactly.
the best photos in the world on Instagram yeah. and whatever you put on your dating app.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't hide mannerisms in real life.
Totally. And
exactly.
somebody could look really hot in a photo and you're like, ooh, like, you know, a bit of me. And then you'd see them and something, they could be wearing flared jeans and you'll go, I've spent 2 weeks messaging this person.
Yep.
For what? Flared jeans? No, thank you.
Yeah. And also, very little is real on social media. Let's have it right. Because
yeah.
you think, oh my God, he's amazing. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. But it could be filtered 3 times. It's been through Facetune. It's
yeah.
been through several apps. Do you know what I mean? And before you know it, we're going down AI territory.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
That's happening next, I'd say.
That's the next date, you know, AI.
AI, yeah.
Yes. My mentor always said, like, he said, Bam. They call me Bam. That's my nickname. He said, Bam, don't forget that people only post their best moments on social media.
Always.
When you get on it. And I was like, oof, I wish that was like a pillar for like dating apps, social media, like a disclaimer. People are only prone to post their best moments, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, Brooke, thank you so much. I'm going to call you Bam now because I feel like we're mates. Thank you so much, Bam. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And you join us anytime. It'd be lovely to speak to you again in the future, mate.
Yes, thank you so much for your hospitality and sending love to the both of y'all.
Thank you, mate. Have a lovely afternoon. I'm guessing it's afternoon now.
Yes, it is.
Enjoy your afternoon.
Enjoy the sun.
Thank you.
Take care, mate.
Bye. What a lovely guy.
Lovely chat. Lovely shirt.
Lovely shirt, by the way. My partner would love that shirt. He loves the flowery shirt, but I could chat to him all day.
Oh my God, yeah. Really good chat. And I can see why he does his job. Yeah. I could open up my soul to him.
Soul, totally. So, yeah. I literally forgot we were on radio. Yeah, I'm like, tell us more.
Yeah, tell us more. Forgetting that we've got our next guest, Mehdi, waiting in the waiting room. So, guys, we're going to go to a little trail now and we'll be back and we'll be joined by Love Island's Mehdi. We will see you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Access
All Areas. There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently, he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Apparently, he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Two Swords that deep down the public wants. The dating
show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they stop going and say, tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I think, I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Area, guys, and we are going straight into our interview with the lovely Mehdi from Love Island. Woo! How are you?
Hello.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Firstly, thank you for joining us on Access All Areas this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're so, so welcome. Right, let's talk. We've got to get straight in because there's so much to talk about. Firstly, how is life since leaving the villa? I guess busy.
Well, yeah, life is amazing. I've been on holiday since leaving the villa. So enjoying my time, enjoying the sun. I'm not going to complain.
Nice. Where are you on holiday?
So right now I'm in Cannes in France.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's the end of my third week now. So yeah.
Oh, 3 week holiday. La-dee-da. Straight from the island as well. That was like a holiday too.
Yeah, it is. It's jet setting around. So how long are you going to stay in Cannes for? Are you going anywhere after?
So I'm off tomorrow because I have a wedding on Saturday and then back in London next week, something like this. I need to be back.
Yeah. You don't, believe me. Yeah. It's miserable. Well, it's not, but it's just not as sunny as we are.
Yeah, it's definitely not. It's not been the best weather. It's not been the best.
No.
So obviously, so you're living your best life post the villa. I'm always intrigued. I'm going to go straight into the social media side. You obviously don't have your phone when you're in the villa. You get your phone back. I guess you turn it back on. It must be like crazy town.
Yeah, it was months. I deactivated my notifications from Instagram.
Yep.
Because that was too much. And so, yeah, I just go on Instagram from time to time. I check when I want to check. And, you know, I don't live my life just because I have a notification.
Are you reading the messages or are you just steering clear?
Oh, no, I'm reading everything.
Okay. Are they good? Are they positive?
Yeah, even the good. Negative, you know.
Yeah, you're like, whatever, yeah. It's hilarious.
And I was like to know, what are the DMs saying? Who's sliding into the DMs? Are you getting a few naughty ones?
You know what I'm getting, okay?
Yeah, but our listeners don't, so come on, baby, spill the tea. What is going on in your DMs right now?
You need to censor this phone, okay?
Yeah, perfect.
No, I'm joking, I'm not going to show.
Oh, meds. We was getting excited then. But you can tell us, we're uncensored here at Football and Access All Areas. Are you getting some X-rated?
I do.
Oh.
I do, yeah. But when I see pictures, I don't open them because I'm getting too much.
Oh my God, I love it. Any blue ticks?
I didn't. I'm going to restart. I didn't need Love Island to have the blue ticks. Before.
I love it. I love it.
Was you a fan of Love Island before you went into the villa?
Can you repeat, please? I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Was you a fan of Love Island before you went into the villa?
No, I watched like one or two seasons before. I think it was like the fourth and fifth season, so years ago. And so I signed for something. I had no clue what it was. So I think that was funny because I didn't know what to expect and I just went with the flow. Mm. Yeah.
And obviously you didn't really know what to expect, but did you enjoy your experience? And is it what you thought it would be? Was it better? Was it worse?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed my experience because, you know, it's Love Island. So I had so much fun. I think it, more than, filled more than my expectations because, you know, I got to know myself even more. I know what I want to do with my life. Very positive experience. I loved it. I recommend it.
Good. Are you missing Whitney at all?
Yeah, I am. I am. I've been in contact with, you know, previous Islanders, with Whitney's sister and mom. So yeah, I can't wait for her to, I think she'll win the show.
Do you think?
Yeah.
She is favourite to win.
Sorry?
She is favourite to win.
Yeah, she is. I'm not surprised about it.
So do you think that she's coupled up with the right person right now?
If she has coupled up with Logan, I feel like she made the right decision for herself. She knows herself and she knows what's best for her. So if they are coupled up together and Whitney made the choice, well, it's the right choice.
And, I mean, I know you're living your best life jetting around Cannes for 3 weeks. Are you able to tune in and see much of the show at the minute? Are you watching anything or following it on social media?
So I'm not watching the show regularly because I don't have ITV in France. But I see videos every day. People send me stuff and they're like, oh, this happened, that happened. So I know what's going on in the house right now, yeah.
From what you're seeing, I mean, it's hard to gauge just through like 30-second or 1-minute clips on social media. But are you surprised? Because obviously you live and breathe, eat and sleep 24 hours a day with these people. Are you seeing anything on social media where you'd be like, oh, that's not kind of the person I know?
Yes, kind of. But I'm not going to lie. I've been a victim of like social media judgment. So I'm not going to fall for that. I've lived with these people. I know their intentions. And I feel like everybody in this villa has genuine intention. Everybody's very supportive to each other. Mm-hmm. Every time I've seen, you know, arguments between Islanders, and I feel like the biggest one recently was Ella and Whitney.
Yeah.
I can't make a judgment because friends argue. People see 45 minutes of like 24 hours. So mm-hmm. No judgments at all. And I know that, you know, their friendship will prevail.
So you don't think there's any game players in the villa?
Spill.
Spill the tea.
Spill it.
It's a hard one because I'm not going to lie. When you go into a villa like this, you can play a game for 1 week, but then, you know, your true colors, they will be out there. I don't feel like there's game players, but I do feel like there's like Love Island super fans that know the ultimate recipe to succeed, you know, something I didn't know.
And could you say who they are, these super fans that know exactly the recipe?
Well, I haven't watched the show, so I'm going to throw a name maybe unfairly, but I know that Scott loves the show very much. So I think he knows, like, you know, every other season, what happened, how, when to do something, when to do that. Mm-hmm. When I was in the villa, I don't feel like this was forced. But, you know, when you know a show, you know what to expect.
Okay. And do you think when Whitney comes out, are you guys going to meet up, go for a drink?
Well, yeah, this is my plan. I don't know on her side. I can't talk for us when it's only me on the outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely something I would like to do. Go for a drink or dinner with her.
That would be lovely.
I was supposed to meet her family, but I've been on holiday for 3 weeks. So I'll probably go see them like next week, I think. Yeah.
So you mentioned that there might be one or two super fans of the show in the villa. As years go on in reality TV, especially as Love Island, it's no longer like the new kid on the block. It's been around a while now. And it's been said for the last few years, not everyone goes in there looking for love or with the best intentions. Some people are going in there for followers, brand deals and to become celebrities. Is there anyone that's gone into that villa that you think, do you know what, actually, you couldn't care less if you find love, you just want a blue tick, and you want to do a couple of red carpets and maybe a little brand deal?
I'm going to be honest with you. I know you want some tea, but there's no tea. Because everybody's here to live the experience. I feel like everybody's has gone out their comfort zone to get to know people, even though, you know, this girl is not their type or this boy is not their type. They've been out there just to explore a possible connection. And I feel like this is why we saw this year, you know, couples that were not like a perfect match, but worked. So maybe there's some people that have intentions of having brand deals and stuff. Mm. I don't know. I'm not one of them.
If you had to relive your experience in the villa, what would you do differently?
Nothing at all.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like everything that happens in life needs to happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Every mistake that you make in life, they have to be made.
Yeah.
I'm confident that all the mistakes I've made, I've addressed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
People think, you know, I haven't addressed, I haven't apologized. I did. So no, I would do the exact same thing. Even my biggest mistake and, you know, the biggest scandals and stuff. Yeah. I'll do the same.
Would you have liked to have been in there to meet Whitney's family?
Yeah, but I'm going to meet them next week.
Are you actually meeting them?
Yeah, I've been in touch with her sister, so
Oh, wow. This
is a plan, yeah.
Well, oh, that's amazing. A good sign. The fact that the sister's messaging and the mum wants to meet you, so you're already in there with the in-laws.
Exactly.
Yeah, regardless of what happens with her inside, you know
exactly.
What I mean? So actually, you've got your foot in the door. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Where will you take mum and sister for lunch or dinner?
That's a very good question, but I can't tell you that. I'm a man of a surprise. I like a good surprise, so I can tell you the answer.
He knows we're going to be there waiting with a
Fair
wine.
Fair enough, yeah.
For the tea.
So obviously, it was the talent show this week. If you were still in the villa, what's your talent? You look like a man of many talents to me. What would your talent be?
Okay, so I'm very bad at dancing. You've seen it on the dancing challenge. maybe cooking.
Oh, what do you cook?
Oh, anything.
Wow.
I can do anything. I'm in the middle of cooking something right now. So
what are you cooking now?
I'm cooking some Moroccan dishes tonight, yeah.
Ooh, oh, nice. Man who can cook,
we're not in
already a winner.
I
do
know.
You know what I mean?
Tick, tick, tick. So is there going to be any more reality TV shows for you then in the pipeline?
Who knows? I would be definitely up for it. I don't know what kind of reality show. But yeah, I would definitely be up for it.
If you could literally choose any reality TV show in the world, what would be your ideal one to go on next?
I have two that I like. So one in the US, it's like $1 million listing.
All right.
I love it. Ooh. Yeah, I would buy a house, obviously, not sell them.
Right. I was going to ask that. I was like, oh, you're real estate.
And made in Chelsea.
No way. I was not expecting that one, actually.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'd love to see you on that.
Yeah.
And they never say never.
Never say never. Also, MasterChef.
Yeah, I would love to do that, MasterChef.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think I'd enjoy it a lot.
That would be
amazing. If you can cook, you're laughing.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, some people go in there and try and make scrambled egg.
Yeah, I can't make toast.
I can do better.
That's what I mean. I've got no doubt, mate. No doubt at all. So, obviously, not much of the show left. We're coming to kind of the end of the series now.
Yeah.
If you could go on, if you got a call from ITV and they went, you know what, we're going to throw in a bombshell, would you go back?
Definitely.
Would you? And what would you do? Would you go in there and would you claim Whitney?
You know what? Yeah, of course, this is the first thing I would do. But also, I've been behaving way too much in this villa. I would just go there and drop a bomb and leave.
What bomb are you going to drop?
I don't know. I would ask my fans, what do you guys want?
Stir stuff up. I love it. That would be incredible.
And already, because as people come out, do you have this agreement? You all say, whoever's out first, get our numbers from production and set up a WhatsApp group chat. Is there a group chat already? What's the group chat saying? Is it popping off? Give us some tea.
Okay, so we have a Love Island group chat.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Love Island Squad. Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very funny group. Very funny group. Everybody gets along with everybody. We're going out. I mean, they're going out because I'm locked in France, you know, under the beautiful sunshine.
Nice.
So they're partying in London a lot. And I can't wait to go back and party with them.
Well, because Molly was already out, is Molly in it as well? Was she writing in the group chat for a bit and then before she went back in?
She is.
Okay.
She is, yeah.
Do you think it was fair that she kind of got to know the outside vibe and then was sent back in?
Well, you know what? As I said in another interview, but I'm going to say the same to you guys. Mm-hmm. When I heard that Molly was going back to the villa, I was so excited because I was like, Molly, just stir the pot.
Yes.
Well, she was a little bit too nice for my tasting.
Yeah.
So that was my only expectation, but I'm very happy that, you know, she's back with Zach and,
yeah,
you know, they look like they're having fun, and I know they really like each other, so that's fine to see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was expecting her to, you know.
I was as well. I wanted her to be stirring the pot, but she kind of just slid back in, didn't she?
Maybe she's gone in and boxed clever, because also she knows what's going on in the outside world. She knows what the group chat's saying.
Yeah.
So I wonder if on the DL, what we're not seeing, I wonder if she's spilling tea in the villa game, right?
Yeah.
This is what X, Y, and Z are saying.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. You're not allowed.
Are the producers always listening and watching? I suppose they are.
Well, we live with mics, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, except when we sleep, but we're not allowed to talk about the outside world. I mean, not the outside world, but everything that could, you know, make us think differently.
Game
you know, everything that could cause something that is not natural.
I guess I don't want to break the bubble, which, yeah, obviously makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. I want to come with my final question because sadly the show's running to an end, but I've got to ask, there's always the big finale, your big reunion at the end. What's your predictions? I mean, we've still got a little way to go. Do you reckon there's going to be a few ding-dongs at the reunion? Is there going to be scores to settle? Is there going to be handbags at dawn? Are we going to have easy locks ripped out on the floor?
I don't know, to be honest. I would like it to be like, you know, straightforward and bold.
I ain't going to rap him. That's reality TV.
Yeah.
But we'll see if people sugarcoat stuff.
After a few bevies, you never know. How many drinks do you get in the villa? Only two a night, is it? One?
One.
What? Well, way to the reunion.
A glass of our warm Venus ale.
There you go.
Mallorca's finest.
I'll kick things off.
Is there...
Oui,
oui. Final question, 1 minute to go. Just want to know, is there any score you want to settle? So you're going to walk into the reunion. If you had one thing that you want to kind of put to bed, put to rest, or confront someone, what's it going to be?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Everything that I've done, said, heard, I've addressed it because I'm a man that likes communication. I'm very sometimes clumsy with my words, but at the end of the day, I don't care. I just want things to be talked about, sorted. We move on. However, I don't know. I'll be someone's help if needed, but I don't have anything to score. I've scored everything.
Yeah. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah,
isn't he?
Love it. You're going to wingman it. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. An absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your holiday in Cairns. I'm sure you're going to.
Thank you. Don't rush back. I'm going to jump in the pool right now.
Oh, don't jealous. Rub it in. I'm going to go. Down. Yeah, I'm getting on the Victoria line.
Oh, my God. Look, that is
goals.
Oh.
Thank you so much for joining us. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
I love it.
Oh, how nice is he?
So nice. He's getting in the pool and we're getting on the Victoria line. I mean, our lives are different, but we move, Helen.
We do.
Thank you so much for joining me again. Always
thank
a pleasure to have
me.
You in the studio. And thank you guys for listening. You know we love you. And we won't be here next week. So I'm in a little week off, but I will be back in 2 weeks. So until then, take care, stay safe, and we'll see you in two.
Bye.
Bye.